Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. I'm your host for this evening's show, Henrietta Byrd, and our other two hosts will be on with us shortly, Jill Van Leeson and Glenn Greenwich. They are busy with the Youth Summit body at this moment, but they will be on shortly with us. We thank you so very much for being with us this evening. This is the fourth Sunday in September, and we do have a fifth Sunday in September, so we will be with you again next week, this month, as we are focused on the election, and everything that goes with the presidential election in the United States of America. We, once again, thank you very much for listening in and all of your calls and listening after the show last week and all the other weeks. We remind you that the International Black Summit annual event is in Ottawa, Canada in 2013, and we invite everyone to become a part of this conversation. We begin all of our meetings, all of our events, all of our talk shows and everything else that we do with the declaration of the International Black Summit. That is what we live inside of. That's what we are about. That's what we're up to. And if you would like to read along with me, you can go to blacksummit.org, our website, and you'll see the declaration of the International Black Summit. We always make a request before we generate the declaration, and that is that you listen or read or be one with the declaration and look and see where you find yourself inside of it. And we'll have a conversation about it in just a few moments. The declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. Chicago, Illinois, September 23rd, 2012. North, south, east, west, above, below, within. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. Thank you very, very much for listening in. Just wanted to start the show off with just a shout out to Niyamo and Jonathan, and wishing them well in their new house. They are members of the International Black Summit, and we just love them dearly and celebrate with them as they move into another experience in their lives together. So, Jonathan and Niyamo, we love you, we bless you, we thank God for you, and we certainly do appreciate you and what you've done as a contribution to the universe. The International Black Summit is a gathering, a conversation that is being given by life to the world through people of Black African descent. Conversation finds its expression in the declaration of the International Black Summit, which you just heard. So this summit is a conversation. It's a conversation that we engage in all throughout the year. And in this conversation, we find ourselves, we get our lives, we get to release things that we no longer need. We get to pick up things that will assist us as we move forward in life. We get to declare, we get to distinguish different things in our lives that we find useful, and sometimes that we no longer find of use for ourselves. This is one of the greatest conversations you will ever enter into. It's the kind of conversation that has you come back year after year after year and engage in with people that some you've seen and met and some you've never seen before. Conversation has taken us to many countries throughout this world. And this particular year, the conversation took us to Birmingham, Alabama. And what a summit we had. We have a term in the summits that says that where we ask each other, did you get your summit? Did you get your summit? And throughout the weekend, the first weekend in August every year, the conversation begins on Friday morning, the very first weekend in August. And on that Thursday, those people who've never done the summit before come together and do a course that we have, and it's called a prerequisite. And that prerequisite course prepares them for the conversation that begins on Friday. So if you've never done the summit before, you will have to be in Ottawa on Thursday as a prerequisite. And that begins at 9 a.m. Thursday morning, the first weekend in August. And I'm going to get those exact dates for you in just a moment. On Friday, the conversation begins, and the conversation always begins with us honoring our ancestors, and we invite our ancestors into the room to facilitate the conversation. The ancestors guide us and direct us, and we give up to them. The International Black Summit has a new ancestor this year, Mr. Fred Devon, and it will be our first first summit with Ed as an ancestor. And so that will, I'm sure, be very interesting for all of us because of the contribution that Ed has always been, and I'm sure as an ancestor he will continue to make a great contribution. But on Friday we began with the ancestors into the room, and we honor our elders. And our elders are those people who declare themselves, first of all, as elders. There's a lot of declaration that goes on in the conversation. And those who've been in the summit conversation for years, or they are over a particular age. And we start with the elders and we acknowledge them, and then we acknowledge the youth that are with us. And then the conversation begins. We leave the annual event every year with a question, and we stay in that question the entire time that we are, you know, in communication throughout. We stay in the conversation with this question that we are given every year, and the question comes out of the work that's being done in the International Black Summit annual event weekend. And this year, the question is, what is available when I notice my trigger, be with what is? When I notice my trigger, be with what is, and trust that it provides access to my vision fulfilled. Now, that's an interesting, real, real interesting question because there's a lot of dynamics in that question. What is available is the question. When I notice my trigger, trigger is one of our distinctions. Be with what is a statement or an action that we've been working with for the last 3 years. Be with what is. And this year, trust that it provides access, that noticing my trigger and being with what is provides access to my vision fulfilled. Vision work is what we do in the International Black Summit. And throughout the year, we are working on our vision. We are working on our individual visions. And as we work on our visions, as we listen for and see and declare what our visions are, we are triggered from time to time. And trigger is the distinction that states something that we are unwilling or unable to be with. Something that occurs inside of me and I am unable or unwilling to be with, to be present, I'll say. You know, and it occurs in everyone. Sometimes we know it, sometimes we don't know it. Sometimes we know it and ignore it, and sometimes we notice it as the question asks us. We notice our trigger, and we be with it. And we look to see what access it's providing us to our vision fulfilled. That's what we're doing this week. So join us every Sunday as we discuss different distinctions and we discuss different parts of our not only the question but the distinctions and just have different discussions on different topics. That's what we do on Sunday. You know, we have four hosts for the talk show, and we have Claire Devine, who's our immediate past leader of the talk show team, And we have Takesha Showers, who is one of our roving reporters who travels around and enfolds people into the summit, and she calls in from time to time from wherever in the world she is. And then you have Jerry Thomas, who's in Virginia, and Glenn Greenwich in Queens, New York, Jamaica, Queens, New York. You have Jill Van Leesen, who is presently in Connecticut, and I don't want to get the city wrong, so she's in Connecticut, and I'm Henrietta Bird in Chicago. So this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and you are on the air. And tonight's topic is about the election, the importance of voting, different things that we need to know as we get closer and closer to the election, different things that we can do as individuals to make sure that people get out and vote. And we're going to talk a little bit about a lot of things this evening. Glenn and Jill will be joining us shortly, and we have some other guests from the New Jersey, New York area who will be joining us. And we are on the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. We're going to take a break shortly so that we can make sure everybody's mic is on and we can, clear everything. One of the ways that you can voice your comment or your question is to dial 646-716-9827. And when you dial that number, it puts you in the queue. And if you decide you want to speak, then you press the number 1 on your telephone. And it will let us know that your hand is raised, and we can then ask you to join us. And you will be able to voice your opinion. Because tonight's show is about the election, we have to say that some of the views that you will hear are not the views of the International Black Summit, not necessarily the views of the International Black Summit, because this is a show about a presidential election, and we do allow people to speak. You know, they are speaking as individuals. They are not speaking as representatives of the International Black Summit. These are simply opinions of different callers callers that are calling in and expressing different opinions about different topics that we might cover. And so we always have to do that disclaimer throughout the show that these are opinions, individual opinions, and not necessarily the opinion of the International Black Summit. And we do invite everyone, all people, to call and voice their opinions. We do ask that you are respectful and that we expect nothing less than for each person who's speaking to respect everyone. We are a talk show, and we are about community, building community. And so we want to make sure that everyone is comfortable in doing that. So I see that Glenn and Jill are with us, so let me turn on those mics so they can say hello to us. And as we're waiting for them to join us, I would just like to talk a little bit about the teacher's strike in Chicago, and that strike has ended. And there are a lot of feelings about that that I'll discuss a little bit later. But we last Sunday we did not mention it, you know, until like at the very end. The teacher's strike went into its second week. It ended, I think, on Wednesday, and so everybody is back to work, and there are a lot of different feelings about whether they really got what they want. If they had stayed out a little bit longer, they might have gotten everything that they asked for. And so, you know, we've heard both sides of that, but the children are back in school, the teachers are back at work, and we'll see, you know, we'll see how things turn out. Jill and Glenn, you are both on the air. So good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
Good.
I'm so glad your switchboard is working because my internet is not plugged in.
Okay.
Mine isn't either.
Well, like, good thing we have grace and mercy, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. So welcome. Glad to have you all on the show. And I understand you all have just come from a conference call with the youth summit, the people involved in the youth summit. So how's that going?
I'll speak. It was great for me, even though it's a call for the youth. As a youth facilitator, I just got so much out of it. Just the contribution that the youth shared about we identified a distinction that we were in for the past week, and then we wrapped it to what our vision is. We're going to really start diving into vision work, and just the contribution that I got from Glenn and Tamara and Lamar and Joyce, it was great. I just got so much out of it, and I was able to see how the distinction I was working on was triggered, how all of that was wrapped like a 360 into my vision. And what I wanted to remind, when you were talking in the beginning of the show about trigger, and I'm still wrapping my mind around this distinction, trigger can be both positive and negative.
Yeah.
And the trigger that I was in was what I would call in my world negative. And so I just got a great understanding of my trigger and what it came about, and how I would have to have a conversation with myself and remind myself to be in my vision. And part of my vision is that I am love. And it was wonderful work. And I want to thank Glenn for his contribution and in relation to time and things of that nature. It was a great call, Henrietta. Great call.
That's good. Right. I knew it was because I got, you know, when it got closer, I started getting text messages like, we'll be late coming on the show. I was like, oh, that must be a really great call. You know, so, but thank you, Gio, and thank you for the work that you're doing with the other youth facilitators, Joyce and Jonathan and Glenn and Tamara, and did I miss anybody? Youth facilitators?
Nope, you're good.
Okay, that's good, but they do really wonderful work. So as I was telling you about, telling our listeners about the annual that will be in Ottawa this year, you are, please bring your children, 8 years old and up, your children, your teenagers. You know, you don't have to worry about leaving them at home or finding someone to watch them for the weekend. You can bring your children with you, and they will be among some of the greatest adult facilitators of the youth conversation of the International Black Summit. And they do some wonderful work where they work on their vision for themselves. And they know when they leave, they know what to focus on. So the work, you know, it's the greatest. My daughter is a product of the International Black Summit Youth Summit, and just the things that she learned are incredible that she still works with. Years later, and so we invite you not only to come, but bring your family with you. You know, it does not matter how old anyone is. We do ask that the children be at least 8 years, and we go all the way up to however old you claim yourself to be. We have something that you will enjoy. So, Glenn, how was the call for you?
Oh, it was just outstanding, and another way of being in the context of design for the work that I'm doing for myself and the work I'm doing inside the International Black Summit. And so I'll say that another way is that we get to keep expanding our facility inside of the conversation, International Black Summit. The viewpoints of young people, as well as the adult facilitated body, and it's very invigorating to see the work that's getting done in between the calls.
Good. I was talking earlier about the question this year. You know, what is available when I notice my trigger, be with what is, and trust that it provides access to my vision fulfilled, provides me access to my vision fulfilled. And, trigger, Jill mentioned a moment ago, too, one of our people who originated in the summit in the beginning, Anthony Randolph, he always says that prisons are filled with people who did not notice their trigger. Okay? You know, one of Anthony's profound statements. And, you know, when you think about that, and I think about that, it's so interesting, this trigger thing. You know, my sister and I, we always have these conversations, these debates and conversations about different things. You know, usually if I see something as going right, she sees it going left. And that's why we enjoy each other so much. But we were talking today about judgment, you know, and opinions, and we were, you know, like, you know, just giving our opinions about judgment and about things being right and what your beliefs are and things being wrong, you know. And we were looking at right and wrong and how if you believe that something is wrong, does that mean it's wrong for everyone? Or does it just mean it's wrong for you? And we were taking a look at that, you know. And I was sharing that for years I thought that if something was wrong for me, it was wrong for the universe, you know. But as I've grown through life, you know, and the distinctions of the International Black Summit, I've come to learn that because something, I might look at something as not, I won't even call it wrong. I will say something is not what I choose to do or choose to be. That doesn't mean someone else can't choose to do it or be it. But I had to come to that, you know. And so we were in this conversation about it, and it reminded me of no right way to be, which is another one of the distinctions that we have. That there's no right way to be. And so that's something I would like for us to discuss one night, you know, on the show. Like if you believe something, to be right, or if you believe something to be wrong or not right or not good for you, does that mean, you know, like, what does it mean? Like, really, what does it mean? So I think that's an interesting topic, because we never got finished, you know, we never finished with it today, you know, but we were in and out of stores, you know, we could only, like, really talk about it in the car, but it was just, it kept going and it kept going, so I thought, that's a good topic when we start to explore our distinctions, you know, that we explore that topic. And, you know, that kind of takes us right into, and it's a really great segue into the election. the election, the presidential election. And that's funny, because when you think about there's no right way to be, it's like, I don't know about that, you know, when it comes to the presidential election, because we all have our right way to be, or what we want in a president, you know, and we want it to be right. And we think this is right, and we don't think this is right, and we're back and forth. But the one thing I think we agree on is that we all need to get out and vote. We all need to get out and vote. And there are two groups of people that have been brought to the attention of the International Black Summit that everyone needs to focus on as far as voter registration is concerned. And those two groups are seniors and our youth, who have just turned 18, to let them know, to make sure that they are registered and that they vote, and that our seniors have their IDs, so that when they go to the polls, they will be allowed to vote. So make it a project to take a group of seniors to your driver's license facility or your state offices and register them to get their state ID so they will be allowed to vote when they go to the polls in November. You know, and make sure that the youth who are just becoming of age, you know, voting age, that they are equipped properly to vote and that they are registered. When you're 18, you always have your identification with you. So that, I don't think that's really an issue. But to make sure that you are a registered voter is another thing. And so everyone can go online and register someone to vote. So make sure that you are actively doing that, so that we are all, you know, like building communities, building economies. You know, and anybody else. Is anything going on in your area, Jill? I know that your father is a very active person in politics. Are they doing any specialized voter registration drives of any kind?
No, not in this moment. I know that. I mean, as far as having a conversation with people in the community and making sure that they go out and vote, I know my friend Anne, who we had on last week, she's the executive director of the Republican Party for the state of Rhode Island. She actually has done some literature drops in mainly like the minority neighborhoods, Latino. This is a huge Latino, Cambodian, and of course we have, it just split me, it'll come back to, but West Africa, population here. And so both sides, Democrat and Republican, are really focusing on doing lit drops in these areas, and they're mapping, meaning that they're getting out these logs, which show who is eligible to vote as far as their address in the neighborhood that they live in,
who is eligible to vote in these certain neighborhoods and making sure that the lit drops are being done in those neighborhoods. Like I said, we have a huge Latino population. However, a lot of them are not eligible to vote, and they're finding out that a lot of them do not have IDs. So for both parties, they are focusing on neighborhoods where they are eligible to vote. I don't know the detail of that, but I just thought it was interesting, and I believe it was called mapping.
Okay, that's good, because, you know, it's just a really good thing to be able to vote. You know, that was not something that we were always able to do, and we want to make sure that we exercise that right and that privilege to go to the polls and cast a vote for the candidate that we think is best suited for to be president. The other thing that was brought to our attention when we were in New Jersey is that different states have different laws, but one of the things that was brought to our attention was that a person who has been incarcerated, if they have completed their time and completed the probation that was given them for that time that they served, they have been able to vote in certain states. And so we want to make sure that we let people know that and make people aware that if you have completed, you know, to check with your state, first of all, to see what the laws are in your state, or ask an attorney, or, you know, call any law school and find out what your state, you know, what it is. And you probably can look it up on the Internet. You could probably Google it and get the information. But if that's so, to make sure those people are registered and that they vote in November. Anything else around voter registration that we think of maybe as a challenge for our listeners this week?
Nothing that I can think of. I'm glad that you brought up, because I was going to talk about the incarceration and pleading their time and being able to vote. So that was good. The other thing I thought was interesting that you spoke to was the whole, you know, the right wrong, and mm-hmm. the we they as it has to do with politics, because of course them people those people tend to be the same people that have in our eyes the wrong answer or the wrong way of being or the wrong way of looking at it. And you know, I just invite people to look at and understand what it is that you need for your community and who is the right person that can get that accomplished. And I want to underline that, yes, this is the presidential election, but also do not, you know, one of the things that I must admit that I've been callous of is not paying enough attention to my local politicians,
mm-hmm.
to my local city council. Now, city council, I'm a little bit more privy to them because they're, you know, it's my city, and you kind of hear what people are doing around town. But your assemblyman, your congressman, your state senate, you know, all of those are key people that regulate and control the local laws that are occurring that impact you. You know, one of the things that Al Sharpton said that I thought was quite interesting, he said that if you want to look at what's going on with this whole voter registration controversy, what's occurring is the states are trying to pull pull back power to the state from the federal government. And, you know, some of you that are listeners out there may be old enough to remember, and certainly those of you who don't, the federal laws are the laws that actually mandated the breakup of discriminatory laws and practices, and actually forced integration of the schools, integration of housing, and equal rights. So that the fact that the states are trying to take back power from the federal government is not necessarily a good thing. And you have to be conscious of who is doing what to whom as it relates to your particular community. So I invite us to keep being present as to what is occurring, what are the common laws and local laws that are occurring, as well as the filtering up to the top, to the presidential and executive branch that is mandating certain things as well. So we've got a three-tier system, but you want to look at the national and the local levels when you're voting for and investigating the candidates before you provide them with your vote. Back to you.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks a lot. And it's, you know, it's interesting. I have friends who are just really into politics, especially around the teacher strike and all of the things that have been going on in Chicago around the teachers and the charter schools versus the regular public schools and the difference. And, you know, that's another way that people feel that people are, you know, they're losing their right to do certain things. Charter schools don't require that teachers have charter schools in Chicago don't require that teachers have certification, certain certifications as they do in the regular public schools. There's just certain things that you don't have to have with charter schools, which makes it good for some people and makes it not so good for others. So there's that debate, you know, that we'll talk about a little bit later, you know, on after we, you know, work through the election. But there's, we're lining up some really great speakers for the show when it comes to education, different things. And it's interesting because when you get into any particular arena, politics exists in that arena, you know, whether you can do it or not. You know, or whether it's politically correct, or whether it's something that's controlled politically, something that you might be working on or focused on. I know people who have tried to open businesses, if those businesses require certain things in certain areas, they have to go to their other person to get it approved to be licensed in certain arenas. I know especially when it comes to if you're selling liquor, alcohol licensing and things like that, you directly have to go to a politician to get that approved. There are areas in the city of Chicago that are voted dry, meaning you cannot sell alcohol in those areas. But the alderman can lift that. At some level, the alderman can lift that and allow you to get a liquor license, lift it long enough for you to get a liquor license and then do whatever else is next. I didn't know that. You know, I found that out as I was working on the annual event. And so it's really interesting how much our lives do involve politics, and we don't even realize it. You know, we just don't realize it. You know, how you do things and how you get around doing things. so much has to do with politics. So I used to wonder when I was a child why the older people were always talking about politics or politicians, you know. And now I understand that because just about everything you do has something to do with it, and unless you are conscious of what level, you know, like what each level of politics provides for you as an individual living in a particular area, you know, if you're not conscious of it, you just don't know. And you'll do things, you know, unconsciously that may not serve your community well, you know. So it's very important that we vote, and that we don't just vote, that we really look and see, you know, most people know who they want for president, you know, most people, a lot of people don't, you know, and so what they're doing is they're looking at both sides and listening to the debates, and they're taking a look at, you know, what each candidate says they will do, you know, and then there's all these other people that are on that ballot, you know, they're judges, they're, you know, like water reclamation directors or, you know, presidents or personnel, you know, all these different levels. And so it's really important that we take a look and see who we're voting for, you know, not just the president, but who else are we voting for, and why would we vote for one person or another. So I just find it really interesting. And this is the time of the year, you know, this is the time of the season, I should say, this presidential season, to really take a look at those things. I don't know about looking at the talk shows, you know, like the different networks. It's like you don't know who to believe. You know, you turn on one and they are, you know, they kind of declare who they want, so you have to listen to them. I don't know. Somebody would have to, like, really tell me what station to watch where I would really get a fair share of what's going on both sides. And but I find that when I look at certain stations, they are clear about who they want, you know, one way or the other to be president. I do like Al Sharpton, though. I really like, you know, I like his radio show. He has a nationwide radio show, and he also has a television show in the evening, and he's very clear about both sides. I think he is, you know, he kind of lays down what's really going on both sides. Any of you all have any comment about that, Glenn or Jill?
Well, I'm actually, it's interesting. I actually just joined a local chapter of National Action Network. We're a new chapter in Queens, and it's been very interesting to listen to what Al Sharpton said. I've got to say that in the past I haven't been much of a fan, but recently I'm clear that the work that he's been doing all of these years has been needed, and I think that his voice is now becoming a little bit more the points and issues, and he's become more relevant in what he's, the topics and what he's talking to, because he's been in it for a while, and he's seen some things, noticed some things, and can speak to those things and those changes as he's noticing them. So I tend to follow you know, him a little closer than most. The interesting thing that I want to say about media, because I've got this thing about the media recently, and I've been kind of having quite a few dialogues, because I think that the media directly impacts our opinion and our ability to deliver or to know the facts. And I've actually been watching Al Jazeera, which is to be honest with you, I'm not even clear where it's based, but I know it's outside of the country, and where they look from is similar to a BBC kind of broadcast. Now, obviously, BBC is from England, and I get a better perspective of the world politics that are going on than I do watching ABC, NBC, CBS, the major news networks here in the States. The other thing that I want to remind folks around that is that I can't remember what year it was, but it was part of the Bush administration's second term. There was a law passed that allowed you to have a monopoly on the news media in a particular market. So let's say, for example, New York City, you can own the newspaper, radio, and television in that local market. Now, to me, what that said to me was that I no longer have unbiased news, because whoever controls all of those entities controls my filter of information that I get. So for me, that was a red flag, a warning sign of you better scrutinize what you're being told a little closer than you used to. So I'm just kind of throwing that out for the individuals listening to this call and who are going to be doing, if they're going to be doing further research, to understand that the filter that is being put upon us may not be necessarily clean or clear. Back to you, Henrietta.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Glenn. It's interesting, you know. It's like I said, it's really, really interesting. And it becomes more and more interesting. And it can be one small topic, you know, that catches your interest. And when you start to delve into it, it broadens itself. You know, like this was last year when we were talking about, we had a show about the presidency. I think it was last year. And we found we had different opinions, the four of us had different opinions. And then we started doing research on it. And remember, Gio, and you started looking at certain things, you know, because we had questions. Mm-hmm. And when you started looking into it, you found all of this information that you didn't know, you know. Yeah. And that's kind of what I'm speaking to or pointing to. You know, sometimes when something just catches your interest, if you start there and start researching it, it will open up whatever it is that your soul needs to know in that particular area, you know. But let's know, you know, as we get closer and closer to November, let us know the kind of show you would like to hear. You can send us an email at blacksummit.org or talkshowteam@blacksummit.org. And go to blacksummit.org, our website, and you can reach us that way. Or you can call 646-716-9827 any Sunday evening between 7 and 8 p.m. Central Time, 8 and 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and talk to us and, you know, and voice your opinion. Let us know, you know, what you would like to hear, any research you would like us to do or share. You know, it might be something you've already talked about. Once again, this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and our annual event for 2013 will be held in Ottawa, Canada. And I'm hoping to get one of our one of the people from Canada on the show next week, so they can, you know, kind of give us an update about what's going on and how they're planning to have the summit in Ottawa next year, someone from the host team. Also, I told you earlier on this show that I would get back to you with the dates, and the dates are actually August 1st through August 4th. And so that Thursday, remember, is the prerequisite, and that day, that Thursday, is dedicated to people who have never been in the conversation before, and it prepares you for the conversation, and that is the course that we have, and it's called the prerequisite. So when you go to blacksummit.org, you can register for the prerequisite. If you choose to do the prerequisite before August 1st, you can have one in your area. You would just need to get 10 other, 9 other people with you, and we will come to wherever you are and have a prerequisite course, and that enters you into the conversation, and you will be made aware of the distinctions, and they'll be distinguished for you, and you'll get a course in authentic listening, which provides all kinds of access for you in your life. So the prerequisite is International Black Summit course that we offer at any time. Like I said, we just need 10 people, and we will send the facilitators in to train you. So not to train you, but to facilitate the prerequisite for you in your area. And it can be anywhere. It doesn't matter. There is a cost to the prerequisite, and when you know, as you gather your group together and give us a call, you know, we will let you know the details. The course is usually $100, and providing that it's in a space where the facilitators can travel for that amount of money. If it's in another country where it costs more, then the cost would be more, because the cost of the prerequisite is based on how much it costs to send the facilitators in. So wherever it is that you would like us to come, we are more than happy to do so. This, again, is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and you're on with your host, Jill Van Leeson, Glenn Greenwich, and I'm Henrietta Byrd. We are making sure that you are a registered voter and that everyone in your left circle is a registered voter, that you reach out to the seniors in your area and take them to get their IDs. Take them to get their IDs to make sure that they are prepared to vote, so they won't be turned away at the polls, and that the youth who are just turning of age to vote, that they are registered voters. Also, those people who have been incarcerated and have completed their time and their parole that was given for that specific time that they serve. If the parole is completed, that you check to see if they are allowed to vote in your state, because there are states that do allow people, once the parole is completed, to vote. And we want to cover all the bases and get people out to vote. Google everything you can Google now, and if you can't Google it, if you don't have access to a computer, go to the library, get a library card, and you can use the computers there at the library and get access to the information that you need. Is there anything else in these last few minutes, Glenn or Jill, that you would like to say?
If you don't vote, you can't complain.
That's right.
Glenn said, don't you can't complain.
I love it.
Yeah. So, and, you know, we have to complain about something. So we have to vote, you know, so we have to vote. And that's going to be our question from now on when we get our callers. We're going to say, did you vote? You know, you're on the air, you know, 404, you're on the air. Did you vote? If they say yes, then we'll let them go ahead and state what they have to say. But that's great. Anything for you, Jill?
I was going to say ditto, but Glenn said,
okay.
If you don't vote, don't complain.
Okay, great. Well, we thank you all for being with us this evening, and thank you to the listeners who were listening at other times, and we are so appreciative that this show and all other shows that we do are archived, and you can go to blacksummer.org and click on talk show, and it will show this show in about 2 minutes. And all the other shows are underneath it. If you can't get it that way for some reason, go to blogtalkradio.com and search International Black Summit, and it will have every show we've ever done. And so join us via archive. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be right here with you next week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.